Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Welcome to the Jabbercast, show number 8.
For the week of November 5th, 2006, I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How you doing, Big JD?
I'm doing good.
It's another great Sunday morning here in, we're now in the Jabbercast Studio West here. This week, what are we going to discuss on the Jabbercast, Jeff?
We're talking about family life this week.
I think everybody can relate to family life.
Sure, in some way or another. Even if you're alone, you had a family at some point in time.
That's true, yes. And I suppose everybody had a mother at one time. So
married life, single life, divorced, family when you were a kid, mm-hmm. your family now, your married family, the in-laws perhaps.
The in-laws, that's a good subject to touch on.
Sure. So
I love my in-laws.
Well, so do I. I love your in-laws.
I was going to say.
No, I have in-laws myself.
Of course you do. And you've met your in-laws before?
I have on a few occasions, sure. They don't live in this country.
Right, that's why I was wondering.
But they have been here to visit, and I will be visiting there next year, next summer, for the first time.
You're going to fly?
Yes, I'm going to fly.
Jeff's most unfavorite thing to do.
There's another show, flying.
Yeah, let's
say
that.
Or fears, phobias.
Mm-hmm. Phobias, yes, that's a good show, I think. Mm-hmm. So you have met your in-laws, and have you spent much time with them?
I have spent a fair amount of time with them, sure. Our vocabulary is a little bit limited. They don't speak so much English, and I don't speak so much Croatian.
You don't speak so much English either.
Your English, yeah. But it's fun.
So they came here for what, your wedding? Is that the deal?
They were here for the wedding. Yeah, they've been here all together a few times anyways.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a long way to travel, and, they're basically retired. And
awesome.
So it's... going to be something else for us to go over there, for sure.
You'll have
be
a blast.
Entertained by them and their family over there. And
different culture. And
different culture, lots of things to see. And plus, it's a little vacation for us. So, I mean, we're going to Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Italy, and staying on an island for a week and then going to her parents for a couple of weeks. So it's going to be a big, fun trip.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
So do you think they have a different idea of family over where your in-laws live? Does it play a different part in society, or?
So many things are different. It's just the culture altogether is different. And I think the way that people grow up over there in the European countries is just completely different. So, yeah, I would have to say family and family life is a lot different than over here.
I think it might be, it's more important, I'd have to think.
I think it's more important, and I think they seem to instill more of a sense of value and family values and working and just like society type values to the kids and stuff like that. You know, things are more important mm-hmm. to everybody over there, it seems. And your in-laws.
My in-laws. I love my in-laws. It's kind of interesting that they are a part of my enlightenment about what a family could be. You compare every girlfriend you probably went out with, you visit their parents and you say, wow, mm-hmm. this family lives like this. And, that's way different from the way I grew up or whatever. And they do things this way. And it was the same with the Murphys. That's the my wife's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of cool because I realized that they thought that family was more important and everything was out in the open, way out in the open, yelling out in the open.
Oh, yeah.
They yelled a lot in that house. And whereas my house, it was... a lot of secrets, and it was quiet, and, it was kind of like, it was just different. So I really had that sense of family instilled through my in-laws. So I'm kind of close to them in that way. It's kind of cool.
And you spend a lot of time with them, or do you?
Fair enough amount of time. I won't be spending any time with them in the next 6 months, but.
That's right. They went on a little trip.
They're probably getting to Arizona today.
Just after Christmas.
We had Christmas last weekend. Yes.
That's right.
That was fun.
I'm sure I'd spend a lot more time with my in-law. I guess I'd have to learn the language if they were around more.
Sure.
That's for sure. And I actually have the software to learn the language.
And that language
Because we were supposed to go last year, and the trip got canceled in one way or another. It was actually, we're still getting there for their 50th anniversary. They've been married just over 50 years now. And so we'll be going with some other family from here And I'm going to have to get some of that language down.
And that language
There's a bit of a barrier there.
What is the language?
It's Croatian.
So Croatian is a specific language.
Sure.
It's like, but it's based on like a Balkan type of dialect, I have to think. Well, good luck on that.
How about family life now? Family life with kids sure has to be a lot different than family life without them. Because I don't have any.
That's
and
right.
And you do.
I think the family life is, I don't want to say your life is not full, but it just seems very full with kids. It seems like it's always...
When I think about it, I think it would really be full with kids. But I know what you mean. You're
full and busy, yeah.
Yeah, ours is busy without kids.
Sure.
We sometimes, you know, go to the doctor together or something like that.
The whole family's
down. Doc, we brought the whole family down today to get flu shots. It's just me and her.
But it's the same, sure. Every family's different. But with family with kids, it just takes up so much of your thoughts.
Your thoughts, your time, your money.
Oh, big time on the money. It's crazy.
Braces. I'd have to work all week if I had kids.
You would definitely have to work all week if you had kids. Between braces and hockey, it's out of hand.
Yeah.
It's just wicked expensive these kids can be. And we only have two.
Yeah.
I can imagine if you had like tons.
I know even when we were kids, my brother and I, and we played hockey and stuff like that, and it was pretty busy for my parents.
Sure. I don't think we realized that back then.
No, I don't think we'd realize it as kids.
Parents, this is just their job. This is what they're supposed to do.
They got
to
run me around. They got to pay for everything.
Yeah.
They got to do everything for me, for me, for me.
Because the world does revolve around
That's
you.
That's right. Until you get a certain age and then you realize that things are different, especially when you get there and you got kids of your own. And
That's right. Then you realize your life revolves around your kids.
That's right.
And then you realize, that's right. I was right when I was a kid.
Yeah, you were the whole time. I did know everything.
I knew everything, and the world does revolve around me.
I love kids. We just don't have any. I'm getting up there.
You're getting up there?
I'm getting up there.
Up where?
Wow. I'm going to be 27. That's
a late bloomer, isn't it?
I don't want to be chasing around little tykes when I'm old.
No, that's the thing. There's just
plus the time, money, and everything, and we're busy with a lot of things, and we both realize that we're quite busy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just go with that at the moment.
When you and Lana got together, though, did she mention that she did want kids in your marriage, or that was...
We talked about it here and there a little bit, but I don't know. We've always been busy, so we never really moved on that. My, how things would change if we did.
My.
That'd be insane, I think.
Well, it would give you a different perspective on life, that's
Although
for sure.
It'd be fun. I like kids, and I think it would really be fun, but I think it would have been funner if it was like, you know, even if it happened when we first met, that would be cool, because I'd have young kids right now, you know what I mean? It'd be pretty good.
But sure.
Never thought about it back then.
No.
It was just all fun and games. Still is.
Sure, and...
Honeymoon's not over.
Well, I hope not. It shouldn't be over till...
The fat lady sings.
That's right. Then there's people who start their family very young, either by accident or on purpose. Because I know when I was just having my small children, I was hanging out with guys who were either my age or a little bit older, and they had teenage children already.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, that'd be so awesome. You don't have to stay at home like my drummer. Like, he just seems so tied to his house. He can't go anywhere. He's got three children. And I can sympathize with him because I kind of been there, but it's just so far removed from where I'm at right now.
Oh, yeah. Things change so much every little step of the way, I guess. Did you guys plan on having kids like right away?
As soon as we got married, yes.
Yeah.
And
how old are they? How many years apart?
18 months.
Oh, that's it. Wow. My brother and I were 4 years.
Yeah, me too. Me and my brother were 4 years. There was 4 years between each sibling, basically, in my house.
Yeah.
So those are things, you know, they're not planning, I don't think. Well, go ahead. How do you what?
No, I was going to say, how do you look at your family now in relation to how your family was when you lived at home, as far as parenting and kids themselves? And
well, I think our relationship as between my brothers and my sister they're the same, but they're more apparent to me what they are now. As a kid, you don't see it's like I was so within it that I didn't actually see all the relationships. But my sister hates kids.
Yeah.
So she didn't like us. And as she became older, she spent a lot of time in her bedroom with the door closed. It's like she wasn't around. Yeah. So.
But then it's only 4 years difference. Oh, that's like 8 years, though, for you. Is she the oldest?
Well, she's 12 years older than me.
Oh, okay.
4 years older than the brother right below her, and then 8 years between her and the brother that's just after me. So. We were just punks. And the relationship between my brother, my older brother, my oldest brother, and my parents was brutal. He got kicked out of the house when he was like 15 years old. So. So it wasn't very pretty. Like it wasn't very cohesive, and you know.
Was there a lot of discipline in your family?
For my older brother, he was growing up in the late 60s. And, you know, what was going on then, and my dad was, he was a past seminarian. He was going to become a priest. Like, you know, so he had those values. He was, mm-hmm. you know, around when the First World War, or the Second World War was going on, and his dad was, he was a veteran of the First World War. So that's, mm-hmm. and the age difference between me and him was just so way, I just knew there was no way this man is ever going to understand anything that I'm going through, you know. I'm cranking up, you know, Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath on the stereo.
But did he?
No, he never did. They just thought.
Does he now?
No. No, it's the same way, and he's pretty much stuck in his ways now. So, you know, he can't relate to any of the music that I was listening to or anything that I was going through, you know, whether it be, you know, experimenting with drugs or drinking, binge drinking or whatever. Mm-hmm. They saw it all. They heard it all, but they never tried to understand what was going on, like. Why are they doing this, and why do you listen to that or whatever? Whereas my kids, they're listening to a lot of the same music I listened to when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about the music that's coming out now?
Caca.
Exactly. There's some good music coming out, but as far as mainstream stuff that gets played on the radio and stuff, it's not good. And just, I think there was a really good, like the AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, you know, all that stuff that came out.
I think kids too realizing that a lot of the new music sometimes takes after some of the bands that we were listening to, you know, which
and
is cool. Seems,
and it's watered down. I just had jotted down a couple notes. What do you think the importance of family is on our society?
This is an interview. The importance of family on our society.
Yeah. Do you think that the erosion of the family, like, you know, there's divorces.
It's inevitable.
The divorce rate in North America is higher than people who stayed married. 100 people get married.
Yeah, it's easy just to walk away now, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, the values aren't there anymore like they used to be, I don't think. I'm sure it was easy to walk away back then, too. I mean, hypothetically. But it just wasn't how things are done. And now that is how things are done.
Right. It seems like back then, if you did walk away or you had a broken marriage, society looked down on you like, how come you didn't make your marriage work? What's wrong with you, loser?
I think a lot of it has to do with how the role of and how women themselves have evolved over the years, because that's what makes the whole difference, really. Women have kind of come into their own in over the years. They're not, you know, in the past it was get married, they'd cook, clean, and, you know, do
have
all those
kids, yeah.
those things and basically stay home. And they started working and they started burning bras and they started taking over. They did. That's what happened.
So they wrecked.
They run
it.
The show, really, now.
And now look what they've got. Well, look at the mess we're in now.
Oh, yeah. But I think that's the whole thing right there. I think that they become much more independent, and they don't have to rely on the man. The man isn't always the boss in his house anymore. And those kinds of things is, you know, his house is not his castle anymore.
Definitely not.
He's merely the jester or pawn.
Jester.
I'm a jester, but there are many pawns out there.
That's for sure.
But yeah, I think that's kind of what happened there. I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but...
There are some bad aspects of it.
Yeah, sure, there's bad aspects of it. And you can look at that at anything like that there's good and bad. But for the most part, it's probably really good for them, for women.
Mm-hmm.
And for most men, I'd imagine it's okay. And it all depends, I guess, nowadays on your relationship and how you get along and those kinds of things that determine... what's going to happen through your time together with somebody.
Sure. And that was the next point I had down was how relationships within the family have changed. Like, let's say 100 years ago, the relationship between a son and a father, you know, there was that certain, you know, they were the men of the house, and the man would instill all these certain values and, you know, teach them how to build a house and whatever, you know, like all these things. And the mother and the daughter would have their relationship where they would, you know, teach them how to cook and all that stuff. Whereas I think the mother, now that you mentioned the elevation of woman in society and how she's come of age or whatever, you know, she's more fulfilled.
Right.
I think she is more of a an all-around kind of parent.
She's out teaching the son how to
bat a
ball now.
Like, I know my wife, I'm just thinking of my wife and my two sons, they have a very tight, they're tight.
Mm-hmm.
And she's relatively cool, mm-hmm. you know. And so they like hanging out with her, and they have a different relationship as opposed to me, you know. I don't think sons look up to their fathers only now. I think a lot of sons look up to their mother, and vice versa. I think a lot of daughters look up to their fathers now as well and try to emulate how they react.
Yeah, mothers play an important role now, and I think also that just life has changed itself, and I think a lot of parents are busier working and things like that, and might not have as much time to spend with the kids as they used to or should, I think.
That's right.
That's, you know, probably part of it. But then you wonder if a lot of the well-off people who don't have to work so much or spend more time with their kids, but it seems like they're the ones whose kids are in more trouble than anybody else, probably. I don't know.
I think so. For sure, they pawn their kids off.
I have to go by my views, because from what I see here and there, but because I don't have them. But.
That's right. Well, another factor that has reshaped families is divorce. So there's some kids, I know them, some kids, my kids' class, they have two mothers and two fathers. You know, they go to, you know, their real mother's house for the week, and she's living with her new husband. And
right.
on the weekends, they go to visit their father, who's married to another woman, who's got kids of her own from a previous marriage. So this whole family thing is really, it's in the way the kids are growing up now, they're thinking of family in a way different way than you or I ever did, I think, since there's so much of that stuff going on. And then, of course, there's the ton of kids that are grown up with no father at all, and their mother is the mother and father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be difficult. Then again, if you're just growing up in that type of situation, you probably look at people with full family, with mothers and fathers together, and but that's the way you grow up, so it's a little bit different for them, as opposed to the way that we look at them. I went through that sort of when I was older. I was like 35 years old. My parents separated.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, it was like, you know, we didn't think nothing of it. Yeah, cool. Get your own apartment. Like, that's neat. You know, we hung out with both of them and whatever. I was really close to both of them growing up, and both of them during that time, and both of them, well, my dad passed away in 04, but the whole time we never thought anything of it. We realized, like, especially me, at least I speak for myself, I realized that my mother had me when she was like 17 going on 18. She was married young, you know, when she was 18, and took care of three boys for her whole life, and came a time, you know, and it's like this day and age, though, you get up to this day and age here where the women are more independent and that sort of thing. And she seemed to kind of go through a transition like that, you know, from a time where women didn't do that sort of thing, but then went to work and then eventually became kind of her own breadwinner and was able to support herself and, you know, that kind of thing. And just wanted to be on her own. Didn't want to have to take care of three guys anymore. It's kind of understandable. You
sure.
know, when you think about it, you think, well, you're married, you just don't do that, period. And that's it. End of discussion. But then you got to think of, well, she did this her whole life. And, you know, why does really someone have to do that? You know what I mean?
Sure. And I think a lot of that is happening now, where these women who were raised with the old family values, which, you know, everybody thinks are better than these family values. But as we see, as we're discussing here, we see that they're just changing it with, as society changes. You see a lot of older women that have these old world family values, and they've been married to someone. How long were they married? 35 years?
I was 35, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were incepted before.
It was something like that. 30 or 35, 34, 32. I can't even remember.
So you
anymore,
see a lot of these women who've been married for a long period of time. Their kids have moved out, and all of them, now they're getting separated. In my mind, I would think, oh, my kids are finally gone. I can finally enjoy the time with me and my wife that, you know, that mm-hmm. we've always dreamed about or whatever. But people are just separating now.
Yeah. Makes so this wonder. Is what you got to look forward to.
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't think I'm growing up with that same. I didn't grow up with those old world values, and I don't think my wife did either. You know, she has some good values.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with those old world values and the cooking and cleaning and taking care of kids if you enjoy that and that's what you want to do. But times change and things are just different now.
That's for sure. Speaking of different, one of the things that happened here in Canada is gays were allowed to marry.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Do you want to go out for dinner?
Well, I was going to say, why is that sweet for you?
Doesn't bother me
at
all.
Also changes the face of families. I know my sister-in-law, she's gay as well, and she has a son, and she lives with her partner. Mm-hmm. So there's that family unit right there. And how do you think that's going to affect future generations of children?
I don't think we'll see enough of it to make as much of an impact as everyone might think. I mean, it's there. I don't really see that there's that much wrong with it. I would just hope that kids understand what, you know, what a traditional family is, type of thing. Mm-hmm. Even though they're growing up in an environment that has, you know, like two mothers type
right,
of thing.
Exactly.
Or a mother and a father who's a female. They're entitled to it. You can't say, no, you're gay and you guys live together and you can't have a family of any kind or adopt or anything. I mean, I think it's all relevant. It's all the same. Not the same, but different. No, but you know what I mean? It's still a family. Everybody's entitled to whatever they want.
For sure.
Nice big circle there.
I just want to know what your take was as far as how children raised in this environment will be affected.
I think they'll be more open.
Exactly.
Hopefully they won't be open so far to think that this is the way, what they have to do. That's why I say they should understand what traditional family is and, you know, what so-called normality is as opposed to their different type of family, which, I mean, people could argue and say, well, what's normal, what's not normal, but obviously it's not really the norm.
The norm, that's the thing. The norm makes what's normal in our society.
It may be normal to them, but it's as a society as a whole, there is some things that are deemed normal
sure.
and non-normal.
Now, what do you think about this another thing that happens in that's been happening in our society is since these women have become empowered, which I'm glad you brought that up because that kind of just it's the backbone of a lot of our discussion, how women have kind of wrecked the traditional family life that we've come to know and maybe not love. What do you think about now that they've come into their own? They're working. The husband is working. They have kids. And there's a whole generation of kids that grow up from the time they're born, basically, to the time they start going to school in daycare. So they don't really grow up with their parents or their daycare children. Do you think
that really sucks.
Do you think that'll have an effect on family life later on?
That's kind of a different way to be brought up, I suppose. And I wasn't involved in anything like that. But I think it's hard to get away from when both parents have to work in that.
So is damn
women. As far as being brought up, I think it all depends on the home life, the family life, and how those parents interact with those kids when they do have the time together. You know what I mean? Is it just pick up the kids and make them dinner and send them to bed? Or there's got to be more of a time spent together and learning processes and fun and doing a lot of things together. What happens on the weekends? You know, those kinds of things. If things are done right, I think it works out fine. But if that time's not spent with those kids and their whole life is basically the daycare type thing and they don't get ample time with their parents, I think that's a shame.
And I think it's going to have a negative effect on a lot of children. And a lot of parents don't put in the extra effort that it takes to, you know, they come accustomed to not taking care of their children. And so they kind of, I shouldn't say get lazy, but there's just this, their daycare providers are really the thing that's molding these children these days.
Yeah, I would want it to be myself.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
What about sibling rivalry?
I love it.
Did you rival much?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you rival more or less now?
I rival less.
Do you?
For sure.
Oh, okay.
Positively, yeah. Whereas my sister and my older brother, they're not talking to each other.
No way.
And it's my sister. She hated us when we were kids. So as we grew up, she talks to me, though. I don't know what the deal is with that. Now that I think I threw out the olive branch, whereas the other two brothers, they didn't live near an olive tree. Let's just put it that way. And so my sister and I talk, but as far as me and my brothers, everything's cool there. But I love sibling rivalry because I see my kids now. It's 90% of the time they're arguing with each other or just putting each other down.
Right.
You know, you're a zit face. Oh, you're a fat blubber or whatever. You know, they just steady just at each other. And my wife is just going crazy with that. Because this is how they got to grow up. It's just what they did.
Yeah.
Whereas I know when I was 12 and 13 and 14 or even younger than that, it was physical. Like there was punches flying, wrestling, falling off the beds and out of trees. And It was way more physical, more broken bones when I was a kid than when my kids are.
Yeah.
Whereas my kids are just, it's just yelling. There's some physicalness to it. Yesterday they were playing football, and I guess there was some crying going on. Some tears were cried over.
Shed.
Some, yes. Yeah. So I love it because that is the kind of stuff that makes you who you are and how you interact with society when you become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you don't have that rivalry there, you don't know how to handle confrontations with other people.
Did you hang out with your brothers and sisters? Well, obviously not your sister, probably, but did you hang out with your brothers when you were younger? Or?
The brother that was right next to me, I hung out with him and all his friends because I thought the kids around my age were just immature, whereas my brother, they were doing the cool stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I want to be the cool guy, so I moved up. And
was it tag along, or were you guys buddies?
Half and half. It seemed like there was a time there when they were just, there was a certain set of activities that they would do that I just couldn't be involved in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
robbing Max milk and no,
I was able to do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They send me in and they would drive. No. It had to do with girls mostly. Yeah. And going out of town stuff. Like so one guy would have his parents' car and they'd be going to the, try to sneak in the bar or whatever. And I would be bringing them down in that situation. But mm-hmm. when we were just hanging around the neighborhood and, you know, just doing stuff around our world, I was just hanging out. Yeah. Whereas the other time I'd be tagging along and I'd get kicked out. Okay. You know, and all my brother's buddies would really feel sorry for me. Whereas my brother would just be like, scram, shoo, go away.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, Lippo, you can't. And then back then, that's what I was called, Lippo back then.
Yeah.
That's actually where the name came from. And they'd say, sorry, Lippo, you can't, this is one thing you just can't do with us. You gotta go. Sorry, dude. You know, I remember them feeling sympathetic towards me. How about you and your brother? Did you hang out?
You know what? We spent a lot of time together and we were a really close family and we spent a lot of time doing stuff with my mom and dad, especially my dad. And we did do a lot of things together, but as far as friends and stuff are concerned, no, we really didn't hang out like with each other's friends and stuff. Like we had a whole separate set of, you know, we were 4 years apart, but as far as him and I at home, and home life, yeah, we spent a lot of time together and hung out and did a lot of things together. And still now, I still hang out with them a fair amount and we do a lot of things together and hang out and do whatever. Pretty much the same, but friends are still all, you know, it was always kind of separate.
Separate friends.
Yeah, we didn't like go out with each other's friends, you know. We did some things here and there because he got into music and was recording and stuff. And I'd do some recording with his bandmates, friends, you know, that he jammed with and stuff. And a buddy of his actually played bass for me for a little while and, you know, stuff like that. But as cool. far as just hang out type thing, no, we never did that like with buddies or anything like that. But him and I did, yeah. We were like friends growing up.
That's good. I think that's very important to be kind of on a friendship basis.
Of course, we had our share of arguments and fighting, you know, that kind of stuff like any kids growing up. But
physical stuff?
Some was, yeah. Especially when we were little, like, you know, like we'd play hockey in the driveway and, you know, he'd flip out and start whacking me with hockey stick and
yeah.
going crazy, that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? I never really did anything back because he was always younger, you know what I mean? But nothing really extremely physical, no.
That's too bad.
He knew who was boss.
That was the thing. If you're the older brother, I think there's only so much beating you can do on your little brother.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so much bigger than him. Why'd you hit him?
Well, I remember one time we grabbed each other in the kitchen and you know what I mean? I was forcing him back kind of thing and he ended up having a little bit of a bloody lip, but I had never really hit him or anything like that. It just kind of happened and he was pretty upset about that because I kind of physically hurt him, you mm-hmm. know, but it was kind of like an accident thing. Like, you know.
No, we had tons of that, especially my older brother, Dave, with my next brother, Tom. Those guys, there was lots of blood stains in our bedroom. Oh, yeah. There was, it was out of hand.
Yeah. It's and how crazy. Are they now together?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine. Everything's cool. That was just...
just regular old sibling rivalry.
Sibling rivalry.
Taken to the next level.
Exactly.
WWF style.
Pretty much, yeah. And wrestling. All that has to do with is the younger brother wants to be as cool as the older brother. And so he either will say something derogatory towards the older brother to bring him down to a level that is equal with him. Because the older brother has so much stuff on the little brother. Like, you know, you're just a little twerp or, you know, you don't know nothing. So, you know, the smaller brother will always try to bring the other guy down to his level because there's nothing else.
Yeah, in some way or another, I think that's what it usually ends up boiling down to when you get down to when the whole thing boils down. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Slash.
Skin deep. Beauty is only skin deep. So beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
I'm a firm believer in that.
What you think is beautiful.
I find a lot of things
beautiful.
Yeah, I find a lot of things beautiful.
Are beautiful.
Yeah, I think that. I think
everything is beautiful.
Yeah. And I think I only became aware of that after I got married. I saw beauty in
marriage changes us.
It does.
Yeah. We're like little fags after we get married. We might as well be.
You're such a thithy.
Yeah, back in high school, man. I played football. I played college football. And now I'm married. But it's beautiful. It's a lot of fun. And I'm really enjoying myself.
And everything is beautiful.
Everything is beautiful in its own way. So once you got married.
I saw beauty in more things.
Yeah. And black and white turned to color.
Maybe.
Sour turned sweet.
Something like that. I saw women differently, that's for sure. That's probably where it started. I saw a lot of women, and I thought, you know, when you're on the hunt, as it were, you're looking for babes, whatever, you know. You're looking for the hotties.
Yeah.
But then you realize the hotties are the ones that you can't stand to be with in a room for more than 10 minutes.
Beauty's only skin deep.
There we go. Beauty's only skin deep. That's right. And then once you got to interact with that beauty, once you get in underneath the skin, that's when you realize, you're not beautiful at all, really. What is beauty? You know how to find out what beauty is? You go to harrysphilosophy.com and then you get a podcast from there that's entitled Beauty in the Philosopher's Corner. He does a whole thing on, and it's deep, of course. And he tells you all about what beauty really is.
And that's a podcast produced by Mike. By Lippo.
That's right. Did you notice I put a little row of the podcast underneath on the Easy Mac?
On the picture? No, on what?
On the bottom of the Easy Mac.
Oh, I did notice
homepage,
that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, back to beauty. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, for sure. And depends on how deeply you behold something. As soon as you behold it, I think you really see the beauty in it. Whereas a passing glance, sure, that's beautiful. Eye candy, as it were.
Sure.
What's your take on it?
My take is basically the small definition I had given that, what was the first one? Beauty.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What you think is beautiful is what's beautiful, I think, is what that one's all about. It's in the eye of the beholder, where you might look at something and think that's not beautiful, whereas I look at it and think of beauty, so I'm the beholder. Beauty is in my eye. And as far as beauty being skin deep, of course, beauty is usually only skin deep on the outside. Inner beauty is a whole nother thing.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's what that little statement pertains to, beauty being on the outside. You can be as beautiful as you want, but what about the inside? Are you beautiful inside?
Jeff, you're so beautiful inside.
I'm so beautiful inside. Nobody sees how beautiful I am inside. So yeah, there you have this week's Jabber Quote, brought to you by
Steve and Larry.
Steve and Larry's Used Cars, 444 Wyandotte Street West. No, I don't know. It sounds like they could be anything. Steve and Larry.
They could be
Steve and Larry's Ice Cream. Steve and Larry's Auto Emporium.
Fish and Chips.
Steve and Larry's Auto Emporium. Yeah, Steve and Larry's Fish and Chips. Is that really? What was that? Oh, Steve and Eddie's. That was.
Pat and Hank,
but there's also the one.
Steve and Eddie's, yes, of course.
Steve and Larry.
Thanks, Steve and Larry.
Yeah. Okay, so...
back to family. We're just going to touch on a couple more points, and then we'll...
what do you got?
Wrap it up. Taking care of grandma.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What if you're one of your grandparents dies, and you have to have a new member of your family come and live with you? Same, she was always part of your family, but now she's living with you.
It'd be nice if you could find a way to have, you know, I don't know. I think it'd be hard to have somebody like that, somebody live with you and live with you full time. And I mean, as much as you want to bring them in, and if you had to do that, I guess that's what you have to do. But if you could find somewhere for them.
It's great. Whereas, you know, in the old country, or whatever you want to say,
that's not how it worked. Yeah.
No. In, like, I know in all Islam countries, that's the way it is. The older people just come into the house.
They're probably together already anyway. So.
In a lot of cases, yeah. And I think they look at that as something good. So now we got the old sages are actually living among us every day, and we can get their knowledge from them and whatever. And for sure, in the European countries, it's the same thing. And once people get old, they just live with one of the sons or daughters.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Europeans here are the same way and do the same thing, sure. Of course. But as far as our Western society here, I think we do anything to keep them from moving in with us and living with us.
Put them in a home!
Or you make a particular area in your house, they have their own little apartment or something. I've seen that. I have relatives that do that. A father lives at their place, and he's got basically his own apartment there.
That's a really good setup if you get that.
Yeah, you still have to have that be separated somehow. I don't really think that you should, in the later life and with your family, have the rest of your family have to, you know. Sometimes it's, you don't really have a choice. And I guess it's somewhat understandable, but it changes things and puts a damper on things, and, you know.
Well, one man's damper is another man's sunlight.
Well, when you say that, too, it can be the fact, you know, if it's if it's your grandmother or your grandfather or something like that, it's obviously one parent's parent.
Right, it's one parent's
and
parent.
And that one parent may be like, well, there's absolutely no reason why my father shouldn't live with us, you know, where the other one's like, well, I don't really want somebody else, you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. That's what happened to my grandmother, actually.
I'm sure most cases are like that, but
my dad's mom, when my parents got married, they lived with my dad's mom.
Right.
So they moved into her house, and that's, you know, you need to build up some money to get started, and then you can move out, kind of thing.
Right.
She had a huge house on Peary, and her husband, you know, died. So that, there was nothing wrong with that. So then when it came time for my grandmother to, she couldn't take care of herself in her own house, whatever. It was time for her to go somewhere, as it were. So my dad just assumed, no, you're going to come live with us. But my mom would have no part of that, which was, that was a big thing in our house.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, when your spouse, it's your spouse's parents, say, you want to respect the fact that that's your mother or that's your father, and, you know, we need to take care of them and they need to be here with us or whatever. But then again, the other one has to respect the fact that, you know, it's not right for my spouse, you know?
That's right. And so, the funny thing is, my grandmother and my mom, they were tight. Like, they were really good friends, and my mom and my grandmother would play cribbage like every other day, kind of thing.
Yeah.
They'd be together. But soon as that decision was made, when she got to that age, it wasn't good between those two.
And you
got to
think, too, the fact that when it's your mother's there, she knows what her plan is. She knows that she's going to be leaving. She knows what she's doing. She knows she'll just walk out. But then when it's the tables turn the other way, it's like kind of a more permanent situation.
Yeah.
That makes it different, too.
For sure.
So there's a lot of things to take into consideration with that. Next point.
Death.
Death. It's inevitable.
You sound like Vincent Price. Death. Or Alice Cooper.
Death. Good old death, yeah. We all get there eventually.
Yes, we do.
We're just sitting here waiting for our turn.
Oh, am I dead?
That's sleeping.
Oh, okay. When you were a small child, did you experience any family deaths?
My grandfather died. He was in Toronto. I was really young. My dad's mother died. My grandmother, I was pretty young, like 10, 11 years old. We were close and stuff, but, you know, I was a kid. I didn't really think anything of it. I'd never had anyone close to me die until my dad passed away a few years ago. And he was like the closest person to me. So the first time I met death was with the person closest to me. And it was the hardest and still is and will always be. I'm not sure how I survive every day.
You're not sure?
No.
You do podcasting.
It's rough. Yeah. The more podcasts I do, the more my mind's off it. But yeah.
Well, that's very interesting because I don't want to say I'm happy for my kids, but in the case of my children, they have seen some death. There was when my mom passed away, and when a friend of ours, their son, passed away, and they hung out together. In fact, my kids were hanging out with him the day before he died. It was an accident. Mm-hmm. So they've seen death, and they understand how when someone's just pulled out of your life, someone who was just there. I just saw them, you know, kind of thing. And all of a sudden, they're not there anymore.
Right, yeah.
You get a different perspective as a kid, I think. And I think it helps you prepare for later on in life as far as dealing with those situations.
Yeah, I don't know how prepared I was to... I mean, I was very prepared. I took care of everything, you know what I mean? And I was with him and when he went and that stuff. I mean, I was... well prepared myself for the situation, but I mean, a close friend of mine that I hung out with all through like grade school and I think part of high school, and as I can't even hardly remember back then, but he died, he drowned. Mm-hmm. And that was rough. It was like one of my closest friends, I guess. So I guess I can't say I had anybody close, but I was young then, and I hardly remember any of that stuff really, and what went on, and really how I felt and that, and you know, I was just a kid.
Sure. And you process things differently as a kid.
Another
sure.
kid that lived down the street from me, there were a couple of brothers, and one of them got hit by a car on his bicycle and died and went to the funeral. And he was a kid, you know, that lived down the street from me, and we were in high school. He was maybe a few years younger than me or something like that, but you know, I kind of knew him, and he lived down the street from me, like I say, and went to his funeral. He had died, and so I've seen death, but not anything close until now.
Right. It's different when you're close to somebody, someone you interact with on a different level and you see on a regular basis, to have someone like that pulled out of your life. It's
yeah, especially when you're older and can understand what it means to lose somebody, whereas back then and you're a kid and not meaning to sound cold, but you don't really think as much of it, you know? Or at least maybe I did then and don't really realize it. But now when I look back and I just can't really fathom it anymore.
What part do you think music plays in family life? Like both of us being musicians, and I know a lot of musicians, if you listen to them in interviews and stuff, they say, oh, there's music in the house all the time. And we listen to, there's always something on, or my dad was always playing something or something like that. I think myself that music played, there was always music going on in our house.
Oh, same with mine, yeah.
Either it was my brother's cranking out, CCR or Led Zeppelin or whatever was on the radio, or it was my parents listening to Benny Goodman and Jerry Vale and Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra and stuff like that. They always had music on themselves as well in the house. There was no quiet times in our house.
Yeah, same with us. My brother and I growing up, and my dad was always had a guitar and played, and my grandmother always had music on in her house, and even when she left, she'd have the radio on because she always left it on for the cat.
Music
played a huge part in our life for sure. But I think more importantly than, I think it does some different things. I think for the understanding of music, like the kids listening to the parents' music, parents listening to the kids' music, and having some type of an understanding, creates maybe some type of a closeness and some, you know, leaves room for discussion and for talking and just listening and different things. Sort of like for the social aspect.
For sure.
I think it's kind of neat like that.
Yeah.
And then other than that, it's just, I think music plays an important role for anybody growing up. I think it's an important thing. And
sure, there's a lot of different aspects, but as just far as what we're talking, as far as family, how does it affect a family unit? I think it really does, like you say, it's a source of discussion, and it kind of gives you, as a kid, an insight into what your parents are listening to, and it gives the parents an eye, you know, if your kids are listening to, you know, rap music, gangster rap music, or, you know, I'm going to kill your mother or something, well, then, you know, you better go seek some psychological help for your children.
Not necessarily, but yeah, it's leaves an understanding there of some kind for the kids and for the kids to the parents. So I think it's a good social activity.
Sure.
And plus the dancing around might get everybody laughing and those kinds of things. And singing when you're a kid, and you know, there's a lot of fun there. Music is fun.
I think so. And when I talk to other kids who didn't have that, I just think, what kind of...
Yeah, how did you even grow up at all? Like,
exactly.
What did you do all that time?
And you ask them what kind of music they like, and it just seems shallow, the music they listen to. It just seems like, well, how did you get exposed, and why do you like that? And
yeah,
it's just different. I just know that music. I'm glad I was exposed to a lot of good music.
Me too, yeah. Do you dance? Because I'd like to see that sometime.
All right, let's get the video camera.
Yeah, shake it up a little. Yeah, well, we're going to take off and do a little dancing, I guess.
All right.
First of all, let us tell you that you can visit us online at thejabbercast.com, and you can email us with text or audio messages at hearmeout@thejabbercast.com.
Preferably audio.
Sure. and we can play it on the show. Or you can get on the show live Sunday mornings at 10:30 by
going into iChat or the AOL instant messaging service. And our username is TheJabberCast.
Yep.
Or you can go into Skype, mm-hmm. and you can also just punch in the Jabbercast there as well. MSN.
The Jabbercast at Hotmail is our user, so it's the Jabbercast still. We're always the Jabbercast. So next week's show is on World's Greatest Mysteries.
I hope they're the world's greatest mysteries.
Yeah, they're not necessarily your sphincter. I mean, Sphinx.
The Sphinx in Egypt.
The sphincter in Egypt.
I heard that's shitty.
We're talking about why a fat man's pants fall down.
How does that happen?
I don't know. You'd think they'd just be tight enough to stay up. It doesn't make any sense. Or have you ever taken a dump in the toilet and there's just nothing there? What happened?
Find out next week on The Jabbercast.
So come visit us next week. See you then, folks.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.